Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Ready for the next level of real personalized banking? Muna's ITMs are like a teller in your car. That's right. From 9 to 5, Monday to Friday, using one of Muna's ITMs at our main branch in Marion or Collinsville makes it so easy to bank with us.
You're listening to the Rebel Report podcast, where it's all Ole Miss all the time. Here's your host, Michael Borky.
Welcome in, everybody, on this Sunday night. Just one more Saturday without college football. Two more Saturdays without your team playing college football. But just one more Saturday without college football. And then it's week zero, in which I told you guys last time, I have talked myself into Georgia Tech beating Florida State. I need football to happen more than anybody else because I'm there. Already, and that's a problem. So I need the real games to start, but glad that you guys are here. No, I was not late. I was absolutely right on time. Got your message, by the way. Thank you for that. I am beyond interested. And thank you for that. We'll get that done, and that'll be great. So thank you guys for that. And we'll get it done. I will respond to your message, Pat. I just got yours. So we'll get to that. Anyway, Rebel Report Live. My name is Michael Borky. Glad that you guys are here. Ole Miss had a scrimmage yesterday. By the time most of you are listening to this, Lane Kiffin will have already talked about it, likely, based on the numbers. You guys are, most of you are like 24 to 48 hours after the fact, and that's okay. I appreciate you, but Kiffin's probably already talked about the scrimmage that they had. The problem with the scrimmage is that nobody, besides them, got to see it. And so we'll talk about that a little bit tonight, and then, of course, get to your comments and do our usual thing on this edition of the Rebel Report. Again, my name is Michael Borky. Don't forget to subscribe to this podcast if you're listening on the website at supertalk.fm, or if you're watching on YouTube, pull out your phone in your favorite podcast app, search Rebel Report, subscribe, and leave a rating and a review. I've seen that there have been more reviews. I appreciate you guys doing that. Thank you. And glad that you are here. Also, if you're listening, don't forget to subscribe to the YouTube channel. Follow me on Twitter at Michael Borky, B-O-R-K-E-Y. And this edition, just like every edition of this very podcast, is presented by the Gregory Law Firm. We all know in life that injuries happen sometimes to the best of us. And often, too often, they are unavoidable. And if you have been personally injured, I've got somebody for you. DJ Gregory, the Gregory Law Firm, Saltillo, Mississippi, is where he's located. 662-397-9799 is the phone number. You're not just another number with the Gregory Law Firm. He will actually form a relationship with you and treat you like a person, because that's just what DJ Gregory and the Gregory Law Firm does. Personal injury, also small business and contract disputes. So if you personal injury, or if you have small business or contract disputes that need legal advice, DJ Gregory, Gregory Law Firm, 662-397-9799. Don't delay. Call DJ today. And again, glad you guys are here. Let's get to it. So I genuinely want your feedback on this. This is more about you guys tonight and your take on stuff like this than it is me, because I come at it from a different angle. From the media perspective, I want every practice and every scrimmage to be completely open, because it's just easier to do my job when it is like that. So I appreciate it from that perspective, because when there's open stuff, it means then there's more things to cover. There's more stuff to talk about. But I want to know from your perspective what you think about how things have gone. How college sports, most of them anyway, are completely and totally like locking all of this down. Because when I was in school, this is anecdotal. This obviously didn't happen for everybody. We kind of got lucky in this regard. But right after me and one of my best friends growing up, we went to Ole Miss together. And right after we moved to Oxford, moved into our dorm, we moved in on a Friday, I think. It was a Thursday or a Friday. And there was a scrimmage in the stadium on Saturday. And we went. And we went to a couple open practices and a couple of open scrimmages as well. But we went, and we happened to sit right behind a couple of guys that were actives in the fraternity that we ended up joining. That is why I was able to get into the fraternity that I wanted. And that was why I have friends that I have today, and the college experience that I had was because I got to go to that scrimmage. So I have like a fond college memory of getting to go, but I did that every year. I loved being able to watch practice, and I loved being able to watch scrimmages and feel like I was a part of that. And that's gone now. I love that I got to watch the Saints have a scrimmage yesterday, although I'm not sure that I loved what I saw because the first team offense looked brutal. Derek Carr missed what should have been a long completion. It just, you know, it wasn't all that pretty, but I love that I got to see that. I love that I get to consume content every day where media guys are there charting pass routes and stuff like that. You hear me reference that all the time. I do think that you guys, the fan, and I talk about this a lot too, should be given more. They're taking liberties with you guys with cost and things like that, but the opportunity to go see the team scrimmage once or twice, or go see an open practice where afterwards the players are walking up to the fans in the stands, and not even like a meet the players day, but just kind of like a thing where you get to go and, you know, get to go down to the front row and you get to see Jackson Dart and Trey Harris and all these guys. And there a lot of cases, people, fans, NFL fans, go to training camp because they can't afford tickets to the regular games, but they still get to take their son or their daughter to go see the Chiefs or to go see the Ravens or to go see the Saints. And, you know, it's a way that you can build relationships with your fans to keep them coming back. So you can, keep loyalty, especially when things aren't going perfectly. It's easy for Ole Miss to get away with everything being shut down right now because the team is so good, it doesn't really matter. But I do think that everybody, everybody in sports should do more to accommodate fans. And that does include, in my opinion, having a handful of open practices and scrimmages. I understand the downside to it. I do. I fence straddle with this issue because I get it. Like, Iowa had a scrimmage this weekend. Fans and media got to go, and Cade McNamara was pathetic. And so now all the fans are freaking the hell out because, wait a minute, we got this new offensive coordinator, and the quarterback completed eight of his 24 passes for 20 yards. Eight passes for 20 yards. That feels impossible to do. And so now Iowa fans are like freaking out. And if they kept that close, then nobody would know that their quarterback and their offense really sucked. So I understand why they keep that away. They also, you know, want to protect injuries and maybe some schematic things. I understand that. And so maybe if they were starting with Florida and not Furman, I would understand it better. But you're opening the season with Furman. You really can't have an open scrimmage for your fans to come out and kind of see Dart throw it around a little bit and have some guys walk up to them as they're up against the wall after the scrimmage and just kind of make a deal out of it. I mean, tickets for this season especially are becoming so expensive. I promise you that there is somebody that lives in the area that would take little Johnny to the scrimmage that probably can't take little Johnny to the Georgia game for $1,200. So I think that they should do it. I don't like that this is the direction that college sports are headed. I don't like that fans are cut out of it. I don't like that media is cut out of it because it would make my job a hell of a lot easier. But I also understand why they do it, because if you guys are going to keep showing up, then, you know, maybe they're justified in that and they can protect scheme and stuff like that. But I do think that they should throw you guys a bone a little bit. Ole Miss scrimmaged yesterday. You have no idea what happened. The Saints scrimmaged yesterday. I know every single detail of what happened. I don't think that's right. I get it. but I don't think it's right. But more importantly, I want to know what you guys think about it. After I tell you, the podcast is brought to you in part by Advantage Business Systems. Check them out online, absms.com. Advantage Business Systems has you covered for all of your Mississippi office technology needs. Tell them I sent you. You'll get a complimentary office technology assessment. So you just tell them what you need and what your budget is, and they will find a solution for you on me. Advantage Business Systems, absms.com. The podcast is also brought to you by Priority One Bank. Let them make you their priority. Got 16 locations here in Mississippi, so there's very likely to be one in your backyard. They make you their priority every day with their online banking platform. It's a one-stop shop, so all you need to do is have an internet connection, and you can do whatever it is that you need to do with your money, because Priority One Bank makes you their priority. Do I think anyone will have double-digit sacks? That is a good question. If anybody does have double-digit sacks, it's going to be Princely. If anybody does, he has the ability to do that. And Ivy can too with the right season. But Princely's ceiling is higher than that of Ivy's. So if he's able to stay healthy, then yes, he can get the double-digit sacks. Absolutely. Maybe Nolan can get there, but because, you know, he's more on the inside, it's just a little bit more difficult. He'll command a lot of attention on the interior as well. But do I think anybody will have double-digit sacks? No, I think you'll have a couple of guys get close. With the way they rotate and play so many guys on the defensive line, makes that a little bit harder. Princely's not going to play every snap. Ivy's not going to play every snap. Nolan's not going to play every snap, you know. I think the TFLs and stuff will be widely distributed. They have, apparently they really, really love what they have in the defensive line room, two and three deep in some cases. Like, they love what they've got there. And so a lot of guys are going to play. But if anybody's going to do it, I think Princely's going to do it first. Now, Texas A&M loses their starting running back for the season. Preseason injuries are the worst. Yeah, both Texas and A&M losing their starting running backs at this point. It's really unfortunate, man. I mean, there's nothing really else you can say. It's you can try your best to prevent injuries, and like Lane Kiffin and Ole Miss is. We talk about that often. The NFL-like approach to what they're doing. But That's not foolproof, right? It's not 100% guarantee that nobody's going to get hurt in Ole Miss camp. Knock on wood, you hope that they don't. But the Falcons take an NFL approach to training camp, and they lost their wide receiver. It happens regardless. So it's an unavoidable thing. You can try everything to avoid it, but you can't. It's just a shame. It really is. You would like more transparency for all schools. Ole Miss hasn't bothered you because they'll get a preseason-ish start to the schedule. Yeah, that's true. But, man, that's kind of part of it, though, right? Like, it's Furman. Like, what do you need to protect? Truly, what do you need to protect? Well, people might put on the message board that they ran this. Well, then don't run that in an open scrimmage. I don't know. I just, if the NFL has found a way to be wide open, then you can, too. You don't need to protect anything for Furman and Middle Tennessee and Wake Forest and Georgia Southern. You don't. Throw these people a bone. They did pay for the players after all. So, fans give all this money for things to stay so secretive. Why is Dart's love life national news? It's not national news. It's Barstool news. There's a difference. That's not... And I like a lot of what Barstool does. I know that's like you're not supposed to say that in media or whatever. You're supposed to hate Barstool and everything they stand for or whatever. I like a lot of what Barstool does. I don't like a lot of what Barstool does. I think there's a handful of people there that absolutely suck. But I think there's a handful of people there that are great. I know Ben Mintz personally, and he's a good dude. I know he's polarizing there for sure, but like as a person, he's a really good person. I love what Pardon My Take does. I mean, I think they're awesome in so many ways. So there's what Foreplay's done for golf. Clip that out of context, but I think the foreplay guys are very good for golf. So I like a lot of what Barstool does. One thing that I don't like is they have a following of millions of people, and they're writing stuff about a breakup, a college kid's breakup. And it's, but that's what they do. I mean, that's how they built that brand. It's Barstool, but it's not national news. It's Barstool news. And there is a difference. Eugene, nobody cares though. I mean, the overwhelming majority of people look at it and think, well, you know, college kids, he's an SEC quarterback, whatever. The other majority of people look at it and think, why, who cares? Nobody cares. And then there's a very, very, very tiny, small segment of people that care way too much, and they should be put in an asylum. But it's not a big deal, I promise. Rattler looks pretty good. He's very, very talented. But, like, people have taken five steps too far with the Rattler thing. He's not ready yet. And I mean, like, he was the front page of the paper in New Orleans. And I know nobody, like, reads the true newspaper anymore. But Haener outplayed him yesterday. So, like let's take a giant step back. Like, he looked promising, but he didn't, and it's his first preseason game, so criticizing it is not fair either. Like, giving him overt praise is not fair, or talking about how he's QB1, like, cut Derek Carr, trade Carr, because no. Against a bad Cardinals team, second and third stringers, he struggled more than he achieved. Now, he had that one throw to A.T. Perry that was P.I. That was beautiful. I mean, he's got incredible arm talent. But people are five steps ahead where they need to be with Rattler right now. He needs a bench year, at least one bench year, to just relax and learn and be a sponge and absorb and, like, learn how to be a pro. He doesn't need to be starting right now. He's not ready. He showed you yesterday that he's not ready to be a starter. But he also showed you that he's super talented, and if he's a franchise quarterback 3 years from now, then none of you should be surprised. But Haener outplayed him yesterday. He did. So people need to pump the brakes on he's QB1 now stuff. If you told me that he's QB1 a year and a half from now, okay. Like, I would buy that stock. I'm not buying the start him right now stock. He's not ready for that. Who's the first team O-line going to be? That's the million-dollar question, Jason. I think we won't. Frankly, we're not going to know the true answer to that until Kentucky. And I think that they have a desire to do a lot of rotating. I think they have a desire to do a lot of rotating. The video for Weiss, as I told you guys, I think we talked about it Thursday. I know we did on the radio show that the video of Weiss and Golding's press conferences were made unavailable, There was an error. They didn't delete it. It just, you know, technology just kind of screwed up. But Richard on Friday was able to get his hands on the audio. Both of them are so smart, just incredible football guys. Pete Golding's a head coach, and I think you guys know this. I think he's the next head coach at Ole Miss whenever that day comes. Maybe not after this year, but like 2-3 years from now, I think he's the next head coach at Ole Miss. Either way, he sounds like it. But listening to Charlie Weiss Jr. and just, you know, Kiffin and others, they're not in a hurry to name a starting five. And more importantly, they don't plan on just playing five. They think that they have the depth that is there that will allow them to do a lot of rotating, especially early in the season, to keep guys healthy and to help establish depth. It sounds like right now, like if instead of Furman, they were playing Florida in week one, I think the interior three would be the two Washington transfers and Jerquan Scott. So it would be those three, and then Williams and Pettis would be the tackles. So I think that that's what it would be today, but there's still a long way to go before they actually have to know the answer to that. And I do think that they're going to rotate more often than not. Remember in 2020 when people were convinced Plumlee was the starter, when you had leaked reports out of practice that Corral was tearing it up? Yeah, God bless him. I remember we had Cole Kublik on the radio show, and he was talking about how, like, you know, everybody around SEC country is so excited to see John Rhys Plumlee in the Lane Kiffin offense, because everybody around the country just assumed that it was going to be John Rhys Plumlee. And I think Richard was like, hey, he's not going to start. Like people outside of Mississippi were shocked when they learned that it wasn't going to be him. But locally, it was, everybody knew that it was Matt Corral, like, basically from the jump. I mean, there was a competition, but there wasn't a competition. Same thing with Chad Kelly. Like, there was a competition, there wasn't a competition. After Chad Kelly's first practice, the team knew who their quarterback was going to be. I mean, they knew right away. There was no doubt in their mind whatsoever. That's what made that so funny. Is Hugh Freeze, and this is what coaches do. I'm not knocking Hugh Freeze, but Hugh Freeze kept that competition charade up for a few weeks. And somebody on the team told me that at the first practice, like Chad Kelly's first series, the entire team was like, that's him. Like, that's our quarterback right there. It's that guy. I mean, just, it was game over. But anyway. What's the, quote, big game people keep yapping about? If they go 12-0 but lose in Atlanta, then go 2-1 in the college football playoff, does it mean he still can't win the big game? No, I mean, ignore Paul Feinbaum. That's what I would tell you. Just ignore it. Ignore it. There is nothing that is said by him or one of his callers that is rooted in any sort of thoughtful analysis. He has good guests on his show. They are worth listening to. When you're talking about that stuff, ignore it, because you can argue it and nobody would listen. You don't win 29 games in 3 years at Ole Miss without winning a lot of big games. But he didn't beat Nick Saban, so he can't win the big game. It's a very stupid thing. It is. This season is going to be a test for him, but as Lane Kiffin has been building the Ole Miss program, he has won a large number of very big games. But because he didn't beat Nick Saban, he can't win the big game. It's a very stupid thing perpetuated by people that do not think, they just talk. It's lowbrow message. And with all due respect to the message boards, it's like lowbrow message board stuff. Lane Kiffin can't win the big game. Yeah, yes, he can, because he has. 29 and 3 years at Ole Miss is a lot of big wins mixed in there. It's a very stupid thing. Tennessee hype seems to be building. You've started to see more playoff buzz for them than Ole Miss. It's that time of year. I mean, everybody just kind of keeps changing. Tennessee, we talked to somebody on the show this week that covers college football on a national level, but went to Tennessee, and he's concerned about the back end of their defense, like, really concerned. And also, it's a quote. It's basically a rookie quarterback too. So I think their schedule's kind of tough. Haydad thinks they're going 11-1. I think he's nuts, but he thinks I'm nuts all the time. So, you know, touche. I mean, NC State neutral site week two is not a walkthrough. They're at Oklahoma in week four. They've got to play Alabama. They got to go to Georgia. I mean, they do draw Arkansas and Florida and Kentucky and State at home, and of course Vanderbilt every year. But there's a real chance, man. They're at their bye week at 2-2. I would bet on them going to their second bye week with at least two losses, and they still have to play Georgia. So I don't know. Quote, didn't win the big game, but beat a top 10 Kentucky, highly ranked A&M, and a good Penn State team. That's such a dumb argument. It's very dumb. It's very dumb. Yeah, I mean, when you host College Game Day and you win the game, like, that's not a big win. Whatever. Thoughts on Deion Sanders' mess in Colorado this season? That press conference, I watched a good bit of it because I was curious. That's kind of how he always is. That wasn't new necessarily. I know the sound bites were going around because of course they were. That's kind of always been him. He pulled that garbage. What was his name? The Clarion Ledger reporter that covered Ole Miss. Really nice guy. What was his name? Did a good job. Oh my gosh. Nick. Suss, right? Nick Suss. Wasn't that who that was? When in his press conference, Nick called him Dion. And he was like, no, you call me coach. You call me coach. He's like, you don't refer to Coach Saban as Nick. And he was like, yes, I do. Like, no, you don't. Go find the last Saban press conference. And sure enough, everybody's calling him Nick because that's his name, because he's not their coach. He's been doing that small-time BS since he's been at Jackson State. That's not new. But I did sense a little bit of fear. I don't know if that's the right word, but it was very small. Treating a local CBS TV reporter poorly or not letting him do his job because CBS Sports, a publication that he is affiliated with in no way, shape, or form, ranked him as like the second worst coach in the Big 12 is small. That's what small guys do. It's what small guys do. The leadership at Southern Miss hears from their fans about our radio show. They do. You know what they do? Instead of, oh, no, our fans don't like you, so I'm not. Mm-mm. They sat down and talked. I mean, Jeremy McClain talked to Richard for a half hour the other day. He hears his fans hate our show or call us SEC homers and all that stuff. He hears that. But what would treating us poorly, what would he get out of that? Nothing. And he's a pro's pro. So he did the interview. That's what men do. It's just very small. And the team's not going to be very good again. But God, just wait for the hype when they beat North Dakota State. They're going to beat North Dakota State because this isn't the North Dakota State of the past. They're a little, they've regressed a little bit, and it's an FCS team. And the hype machine's just going to roll right on after they win an FCS game. Watch. I promise you. But the way he treated those reporters was really small. Really, really small. Ben Mintz is only polarizing because Brandon Walker sometimes has the emotional. That is not the only reason why Ben Mintz is polarizing, I promise you. But, it works. But the graphic that said Jake Haner has skin cancer was insane. Yeah, I mean, he had skin cancer removed out of his face, over 30 stitches in his face. And what was he, 9 of 13? Threw a beautiful ball. He can play a little bit. He was better than Rattler yesterday, but Rattler gets the front page of the paper, and I think that people are doing the wrong thing with Rattler. He needs the sit year. He needs the clipboard year. Everybody makes fun of Derek Carr, and I get it. I do too, but there's a lot that you can learn from a guy that's been a starting quarterback in the league for over a decade. You know, there's a lot that you can learn from Clint Kubiak. You don't need to get thrown into the fire right away behind what might not be a good offensive line to get there. Deion is on a speed run to make everyone root against his team. Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, what's so funny is they act like that, and then, man, people hate us. It's because you act like an ass all the time. People aren't just randomly choosing to dislike you. Frankly, college football at large wanted to, and a lot of them still do, but wanted to love you. You know what I mean? People wanted to love Coach Prime. Won at Jackson State. Really cool story. Left under weird circumstances. But people wanted to love Colorado and love Coach Prime. And then he started acting, continued acting like an ass. That's why people don't like them. It's the stuff that they did before the Oregon game. Ooh, they're so little. And then they get beat by a billion points. It's because they act like they are on top of the world and they haven't even gotten themselves off the bottom yet. How many sacks or tackles do I predict for Perkins this year? Did he gain any weight in the offseason? He did gain some weight, but is still apparently having a hard time doing it. Also, it looks like he's gotten taller, but there's no scientific basis for that whatsoever. Listening to that audio of Pete Golding, it said that they were going to use him in different ways, kind of simplified his assignments some, but they're going to move him around a little bit. He's not just going to be like on the right side, just rushing the quarterback. They are going to move him around a little bit. Sacks or tackles. So how about TFLs? I think that he will have, what's the over under 12 and a half TFLs for Suntarian Perkins this year. Is that a good over under? Y'all let me know. Watch Judkins have like 300 yards playing behind Henderson. He'll have more than that. He'll have more than that, I think, but also seeing plenty of Penn State hype, especially on Drew Aller. Most people are writing the Peach Bowl off as a pointless game that Penn State didn't care about. Most people are dumb. He stinks. How do you explain the Michigan game then? How do you explain most every other game he plays? He's the next Daniel Jones or Mitch Trubisky. I mean, truly, that's what's going to happen with him. He's not going to Josh Allen it, where underwhelming college stats turned into good pro. Josh Allen was at Wyoming. I've said my piece on that. I absolutely, and I don't get things right very often, I absolutely nailed that what was going to happen in that Peach Bowl. Nailed it. And it was mostly because I watched him 8 times last year and just... If you guys get bored, go back and watch the highlights of the Michigan game, the Penn State Michigan game last year. He was afraid. Like you could see it. He was scared on the field. He was scared in his home stadium. There is nothing about what I've seen from him that tells me he's ready for the NFL. Nothing. You bought 25 entries in a raffle for an Xbox for you. Thank you. But if you win, do whatever you want to do with it besides give it to me. Do not give it to me if you win. You laughed when Judkins said he had a spin move similar to the ridiculous one in the video game. Yeah, the next spin move like that will be the first. That was never his game. And that's okay. That's just that wasn't his game. Before anyone listens to Feinbaum, look at him. Seriously, well, look at me. Feinbaum wasn't even in the mindset when you asked that. I've seen fans and or other media outlets say that. Yeah, but I saw a headline that he did that at the end of last week. I figured that's where you were going with that. But it's not accurate at all. Tennessee's going 9-3 with losses to Oklahoma, Alabama, and Georgia. They beat NC State and Oklahoma, we could have a different conversation for sure. Yeah, okay, it was Nick Suss. Yeah, he was like, don't call me Dion. You don't call Coach Saban Nick. And he was like, yes, I do. I loved that from Suss. He was like, yeah, I do. What are you talking about? Everybody calls him Nick because he's not our coach. Gosh, and then the fans that were on his side, it's a term of respect, and he's earned that title. It's like, he's not my coach. I call my doctor doctor because he's my doctor, but if I'm having a beer with a doctor, I call him John. I don't call him Dr. whatever, Smith. Anyway. We talked about Dion leaving Colorado after this year, but do you think he gets out of coaching altogether? That would surprise me more than him staying after this year. I mean, has had absolutely no interest of building a team. And I know Ole Miss uses the portal a lot. They do. But they still recruit high school players. And Kiffin still goes on the road. And there's still, like, sweat equity in the program to some degree. There's nothing there. He's planting nothing. So I would be more surprised if he returns after Shador leaves than if he stays. I hope you're right. I'm looking forward to that when you say Tennessee at NC State screams close game for 2 1/4 quarters, but ends in a 17-21 point game late, and people keep spamming it as a blowout because of the final score. Colorado has a, yeah, that is a good way to describe that culture. Late to the party, but tough luck with A&M and Texas losing both their tailbacks. Absolutely. Colorado's not losing in week one, but please, dear Lord, let it be a 42-49 type game. Oh, man. I'm so excited for that one. So that day, by the way, I'm going to go ahead and plant this seed now because last year's was so successful. I want to do it even bigger this time. Hey Dad and I are doing the annual College Corner remote on the Thursday before college football starts. We'll be there on the first Thursday of college football. Y'all come. Y'all come see us 3-6 because it was awesome last year. We had so much fun. So do that again for us. But I'll be getting home right as that game's kicking off. My kingdom for a Colorado loss in that game. Ohio State is the Michigan of last year with the worst quarterback. It's possible. I like him, though. Drew Aller is supposedly hyper-talented, but he has a worse downfield passing ability than Will Rogers. Yeah, his arm's big, but so what? Totally agree. He was scared. He looked like the Happy Feet Penguin. And his eyes, man, and maybe that's just his face, but like you could see it on his face, the fear on his face. First time you've caught the show live. Love it. Keep it up. Thank you, Reed. Glad you're here, my friend. Call me Freeze. Dr. Coach Freeze. Who do I think Arkansas's next head coach is other than Petrino taking back over? Do you think they could talk John Sumrall into taking that job, or is he still going to wait for Kentucky? You know what I think is going to happen? I think Arkansas would make a really underwhelming hire is what I think would happen. I think they're going to get said no to a good bit. It's harder to hire coaches than it's ever been. I mean, I saw somebody mention Rhett Lashley. It's like, no. Okay. Move on to the next one because, no. There's going to be somebody that covers that team that's going to mention Lane Kiffin and just laugh. I mean, just laugh. That's all you can do. Which player this year is the X factor when it comes to becoming a championship team? Ooh, an X factor when it comes. Walter Nolan. I mean, quarterback aside, Walter Nolan. More so than Princely, more so than anybody else. Having a dominating, feared defensive tackle does so much. So much. I think that is maybe not more important than offensive line play, but I think they're good there. If Walter Nolan can be that top 10 pick that people think he can be, if he is that guy this year, that's the X factor. And I know that that's a cop-out answer because he was the biggest portal pickup, might be the highest paid player on the team, maybe second behind Dart. So, obviously, there's a lot of invested in him. But if he is what he can be in 2024, you'll see even like what Kim Dichi wasn't. And he was first-round pick. But if Nolan can give you consistent every-game potential, what his potential is, you'll see how rare a guy like him is and what a guy like him can do to offenses. because somebody like him can just clear up so much space for everybody else. It's Walter Nolan. If he is what his potential says that he is, that is the different. That's the kind of guy that can make Ole Miss a championship team. Yes, week zero is not this weekend. You have one more weekend without football, which is this coming weekend. Why are so many people saying Oregon's going to get their tail kicked in the Big Ten? They've got all kinds of dudes. Because they're not paying attention. They don't understand what kind of roster that they've got there. That's all that is. Oregon's ready for the Big Ten. Oh, they're ready. Oregon's going to win a national championship within the next 3 years. It might even happen this year. They are ready. Dan Lanning is in Oregon. They are ready. 100%. I wouldn't take it if I were Summerall. I wouldn't either. I wouldn't take the Arkansas job right now. There's no way. Who has a better year, Oklahoma, Tennessee, or A&M? Tennessee. Tennessee. Although, don't count out the Aggies. Just don't like their schedule. Compared to Tennessee's, anyway. Especially compared to Oklahoma's. Brett Lashley is going to Arkansas like Dylan Gabriel is going to Mississippi State. No kidding. Did I see the explosiveness off the line from Walter? Yeah, I saw that video. It's about all we get from practice, but yeah, I saw it. Have wished for Summerall after the Kiffin era, but sounds like Stoops is getting annoyed at UK and could bolt retire with his bourbon business. Yeah, I have no insight. I think that 1 + 1 often equals 2, and Summerall's waiting for that to end. And then he'll go take the Kentucky job. You wonder how many more 7-5s Mark Stoops could roll out, making $9 million a year. That's what I keep saying. And the other two guys on the radio show tell me I'm crazy for thinking that, well, Kentucky fans are happy. They're happy with what they have been. It's like you can only be happy with average for so long. Then you get bored. And then you want something different. Lashley will be the next guy at Texas or Oklahoma. That's interesting. Over under 2.5 years left for Brent Venables. Under, I think it's 2. What's the preparation that goes into the show? So it's not super scientific. It's mostly when it comes to like a layout. That's what I do. I lay it out. Now, I used to do it a lot more like segment by segment, and I found that we were pigeonholing ourselves into we have to talk about this here, and I don't like that. I want it to be more free-flowing. So I do kind of put a layout where it'll be like, here's the lead story of the day, sponsored segments. So like at 5 o'clock, we have to do what is called the college football fix, so we have to do a college football anything at 5 because – it's paid for by Mississippi Ford dealers, stuff like that. So I'll do top story of the day, whatever guests are coming on. And we all kind of work together on those things. Sponsor segments and then things that I think that we should get to today. And then like just, hey, links, if, you know, conversation gets stale or whatever, here's an interesting story. That's kind of how it's laid out. And we can just kind of pick and choose like a menu how we want to do it. Totally agree. They will win a title in the next 3 years. I agree. Oregon's the best program that still hasn't won a title, 100%. Lanning is worse in big games than Kiffin. 100% he is. Lane hasn't had equal or better talent in those situations. He got outcoached by DeBoer 3 times in a row. He did. Last year was bad, but at least it feels like he's learning from them. He's not Mario Cristobaling it, right? Like there's progress there, I think, at Oregon. Stoops will never get the credit he deserves. Kentucky was awful your entire life until he came. I think he's getting the credit. I think there's boredom setting in, though. I could be wrong. How long have I been with Super Talk? It will be 10 years next month. I started in September of 2014. So 14 to 15 to 16 to 17 to 18 to 19 to 20, 21, 22, 23, 24. 10 years. Wow. Wow. I started, I took a job in sales to get my foot in the door. And then a few months later, they popped me over into content and then producing, and now doing what I'm doing. So can't wait to see the Miami meltdown happen. It'll happen in week one. It'll happen in week one. Chris Ball is arguably the most overrated coach in the game. Who would be more overrated than Mario Cristobal? Who would be more overrated than Mario Cristobal? Sark? Ooh, there's a hot take for you. He just took his team to the playoff, too. No, Brian Kelly. No, it's Cristobal for sure, but, like, who would be the other candidates? It's probably in that group. Lincoln Riley. His quarterback wins Heismans, and that's great, but what else? Mack Brown, too. Lincoln Riley. Yeah, you guys are aligned with me on that one. But anyway, I got to run. Thank you guys so much for tuning in. As always, we'll be back Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. We'll get to hear from... Actually, we'll talk about this last question here. Let's talk about NIL widening the gap between haves and have-nots, and is finally starting to see the veer option flexbone offenses in the Power Five like Nebraska did. Well, that's the thing. NIL is not widening the gap between the haves and the have-nots. It's not. It might be widening the gap between the middle of the Power Four and the G5, but the top of college football has never been more balanced player-wise, player distribution-wise. More of the top recruits are going to more schools than they ever have before. There's more parity at the top of college football than there has been in the playoff era, anyway. So while it may be separating like an Ole Miss from a Southern Miss, more so, although that gap was rather wide anyway financially, but no, I think that if anything, NIL has allowed people to close the gap. Look at what we're talking about here with Ole Miss and Missouri. And if you're able to adapt to it and prepared for it, you can do really well. Pre-NIL, there was like this established pecking order that really couldn't be altered. But Clemson was a power before NIL, and look, they've regressed back to the mean in the ACC. I don't know. The player distribution is quite even at the moment. So, anyway. Yep, Tuesday night, 8 o'clock. I'll see you guys then. Yes, 8 o'clock-ish. Yes. Depends on if the tiny human cooperates with me or not. We'll see on Tuesday. Y'all be good. See you then.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.